let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Why are we here? What are we supposed to do on this earth? Who created us? Humankind has struggled with these questions for millennia. We've created complex societies, religions, theories to answer them, but we've ignored the simple truth. Dennis Patrick Treese shares his truth with readers of all faiths and persuasions in his book, A Million Monkeys, The Real Story Behind Genesis and the Meaning of Life. Dennis was in an airplane when he first heard the voice of a spirit guide. The voice told him that he needed a pen and paper because he was going to write something important down. A Million Monkeys is the message that followed. Dennis spent 30 years in the Army, saw combat, was wounded in action. After retiring from military life, he created a second career in security, now retired, enjoyed spending time with his wife, helping her with her art business, working in the couple's vegetable garden, and spending time with us in the program. Dennis Patrick Treese, author of A Million Monkeys, The Real Story Behind Genesis and the Meaning of Life, is our guest on This Week in America. Dennis, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thanks, Rick. It's great to be here.
You know, this is really a fascinating topic, and you've got such a fascinating background. First of all, let's just talk a little bit about that. I did a brief synopsis of that. Who is Dennis Treese? A little background, and why did you start writing books?
Well, you know, Dennis Treese is just a normal guy. I mean, I just happened to spend 30 years in the Army, and that was eventful and illuminating for me. Great to be in service to my country, and, you know, would like to do a shout out for all of the veterans who are out there. But, you know, I just had all these ideas, et cetera, and I had written short stories when I was younger and just put them in a file cabinet and forgot about them. But when I got the message to write A Million Monkeys, it was unusual and actually unwelcome. I mean, I didn't like, you know, what I was being told, and I fought it for a couple of years. I finally gave up, but you know, the whole issue of why me? I'm not a religious person, and these are religious subjects, and I have no expertise. And why are you wanting me to do this? And so, after a couple of years of you know, just sort of introspection, I finally decided to go ahead and give into it and write. It took me six more years to figure out how to translate all that into something that people could understand, because it wasn't given to me word for word. It was given to me, as I say in the book, it was given to me in paragraphs. And yes, it's like a memory that I had that I didn't know I had. It's just there. And so I wrote it. And so, you know, I went to Amazon, published it, and there it is.
You know, it's interesting because you said that it really wasn't so much a matter of writing it as it was almost channeled. Talk about that aspect of it, because you were guided through this process, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, go back to, you mentioned the airplane. I was sitting in that airplane, and they said that I was going to start writing, and I had no idea what that was all about, but I did. I wrote for like 6 hours, and one of the first things, in fact, the first thing they told me, they explained human suffering, because they knew that's what I wanted to know about. So if there's a God out there who's beneficent and wonderful and all that, why is human suffering so common and so universal on our planet? And they explained it to me. And the explanation wasn't a real happy one, actually, because it diminishes kind of the human. But I'll go into it if we've got time.
Yes, please do.
Yeah, so, I mean, they consistently used analogies that they thought I could understand. So this one was, so here I see in my mind's eye a playing card, and it's right in front of me. And then they said, okay, here's the deck of playing cards, and it goes infinitely to the right and infinitely to the left. And you right now, Dennis Tree, sitting in this airplane, you're the card right in the middle, although there's, you know, no limit to the cards right and left. So how important do you think the card in the middle is, given the size of that deck of cards?
Yes.
You know, and so that was sort of, okay, yeah, obviously not real important. And it's important to Dennis, but it may not be important in the grand scheme of things. And then they explained that, you know, people live good lives, people live bad lives, people have happy days, people have bad days. Even the same people can be good or bad in any given hour. And there's a lot to be learned from that. And it's our souls that do the learning.
With us on the program, it's a fascinating book, A Million Monkeys, The Real Story Behind Genesis and the Meaning of Life. Dennis Patrick Treece, that's T-R-E-E-C-E, is our guest, the author of the book. You'll find the book, of course, available at Amazon, the usual places. And you've said you sort of gave up trying to figure out why you do. What was that like going through that when you realized, okay, this is persistent. This is something more than an idle thought. I really can't get this thought out of my mind. And then trying to think, why Dennis? Why would they come to me and want me to be the one that transmits this?
Well, you know, I've asked myself that a million times, and I've come to the conclusion that, I mean, so first of all, I should back up a little bit. I asked them that exactly, and they always say, you know the answer. And so you have to sort of look within to find that answer, as they want you to do that. And so I realized, I think, that they knew that I wasn't going to try to start a religion about it. They knew I wasn't going to try to make, you know, a big deal of it and become a famous, you know, televangelist or any crazy thing. I was just going to get the message out. And so that's, I think, why they chose me. And the fact that I'm completely a-religious, I have no particular dogma or credo to push or pull or worry about. You know, I was a completely neutral person who could write this thing.
So it's not like you had an agenda. It sounds like you had a clearly open mind as you were receiving this information. You've said this book not only talks about Genesis and the reason we're here, it also talks about the nature of souls and their journey and the role we play. In a short interview, we certainly can't do that justice, but sort of give us an overview on that, because all these questions that I ask in the beginning, that you ask in the book, you get these answers in clear perspective in your book, A Million Monkeys.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so, you know, heaven and hell and love and hate and religion and all these things are defined for me by this spirit. And it was interesting. You asked me about the soul thing. So I'll talk about that first, but I want to talk about some other things as well. So souls, we're all born at the same time. You know, we talk about, well, he's an old soul or whatever. Actually, souls are exactly the same age. They started with creation, but they aren't all as experienced as each other. So usually when you say he's an old soul, you're talking about a person who has a very mature soul partner, and they don't start out that way. I mean, I was given this picture that souls start life with absolutely nothing to know that they even exist.
Yes.
The analogy they gave me was they're like a hard drive with no ones or zeros. So they're alive, but they don't even have any way to know they're alive. And they have to go from that perspective, that complete innocence, all the way to perfection, and then rejoin the creator. And that's where the phrase A Million Monkeys comes from. I never would have called the book A Million Monkeys, but they gave me that. And they said, because it's the million monkey theorem, which means, you know, so literally it says that a million monkeys typing will eventually type something known like Hamlet.
Yes.
And so what it really means is all things that are possible will happen given sufficient time. And so humanity, for example, on this planet wasn't inevitable, but it was possible and it happened and we are who we are. And souls find us very useful to partner with.
Before I ask about souls, you were ready to talk about another area. And I ask about that because I find that fascinating. And what you have written about that fascinating. Our guest is Dennis Patrick Treece, A Million Monkeys, The Real Story Behind Genesis and the Meaning of Life. You had several other areas you wanted to talk on that are prominent in the book as well.
Yeah, I mean, so for example, one question that everybody has is, what happens when we die? Where do we go, et cetera? And the whole heaven and hell thing. And they were very clear about this. I mean, neither of them exists in the way that we think they do, but we create them. And so it has to do with thought creation, which doesn't happen much on the physical plane. But when you die, you know, your soul isn't physical. And so your body just rots and goes away, but your soul continues. And your soul has the memories of all of the lives that it's partnered with, and it's learning things from those partners. And if it feels guilty about something, it can create a hell. I mean, if you think that you need to be, you know, falling from a height, you can do that forever if you want. I mean, and that's what happens. I mean, you create your own punishment because you think you need it. And if you don't, you just create, you know, whatever happiness you want. And it's actually fascinating. And so there is sort of a heaven. There is really no hell other than the one we create for ourselves. And, you know, so actually that's kind of good news, really. You know, I think most organized religions cover the concept fairly accurately. You know, like Spirit told me, I get about 60% right, and 40% is based on, you know, supposition and agendas and whatever. So, you know, it's just kind of an interesting thing. But I urge people to read the book and read the definitions for love and hate and religion, etc. So regarding religion, it's like they said, well, the divine gave us all religions when he gave us free will. So we're completely free to invent whatever religions we want, most of which are you know, well-intentioned, etc. They get kind of screwed up because people are, well, kind of screwed up. But in any event, he said, the Spirit said, this came with no endorsements. You know, we create what we create. If we feel good about it, that's fine. Adopt it. If you feel good being one religion over another, that's wonderful. I would urge that you not hold it against other people to be something else, because we can all create and or adopt any religion we want.
It's one of the many topics that you talk about, the book A Million Monkeys. Dennis Patrick Treece, our guest on the program. You encourage readers to find a different way to celebrate the creator and the creation. Talk about that. Are we doing it wrong? Many of us doing it wrong?
Well, No, there is no right and wrong. That's what, okay, the Million Monkeys is all about. You do what you do. You have free will to choose good or evil, or you know, good 2.1 or bad 2.0. I mean, it's just whatever you want to do. But one of the things that they want us to do is to communicate with our soul more directly. You know, we have this soul partner, and not all souls are as interested in us as others. Just depends on how long they've been with, you know, a physical being. But in any event, talk to your soul. Use your soul as the conduit for prayer, etc. And that will help your soul, and it will help you.
Time is going by so quickly. As you can tell, it is a fascinating book written by our guest, Dennis Patrick Treece. The book is called A Million Monkeys, The Real Story Behind Genesis and the Meaning of Life. You can find a link at our website, thisweekinamerica.us, the book available at Amazon and the usual places. I want to mention, too, several other books you're working on, but before I move on to those, anything, Dennis, you want to say to the viewer out there? I must say the reader, and they will be, I'm sure they'll be reading the book and trying to pick up some of the advice that you share. But what is the takeaway you want as we read A Million Monkeys? What do you hope is the message that we get, which was basically the message you got and resisted for a while?
Yeah, you know, it's humanity is at a tipping point. So our brains are physical, but our thoughts are not. And all of our thoughts go streaming out into the you know, everywhere, and all souls everywhere, all spirits everywhere, and the Creator hear all of our thoughts. And when those thoughts are hateful, hate is a drag chute on reunification. So, you know, love is the answer. Love is the whole point to everything. And any hateful thought creates a drag on that. So, you know, the point to everything is to abandon hate in favor of love, regardless of provocation, as evidenced by every thought, word, and deed. And that, my friends, is the meaning of life as given to me by Spirit.
All of these questions answered in Dennis's book, A Million Monkeys, The Real Story Behind Genesis and the Meaning of Life. And you've written several other books as well. Let's talk about those in the time remaining. These are fascinating books, and you were saying these were a little bit easier to write than A Million Monkeys was.
Well, they were, because these come from me. I mean, yes. these were started many years ago in my head, and I kind of got the bug about publishing when I published A Million Monkeys, because it was pretty easy to do. So I went ahead and began the next one, which is The Crown of Happenstance. And it's science fiction fantasy. And its creation actually happened in the North Carolina woods. I was on army exercise out in the woods, and I saw a piece of barbed wire sticking out of the middle of a tree. And I thought, that's crazy. Who would drill a hole in a tree and stick a piece of old barbed wire in it. And then I saw a piece of barbed wire at 90 degrees to it sticking out of the tree as well. And I thought, you know what? This was a corner post for somebody's fence, and the tree grew around it. And then I realized that the tree was at a, had a different, vibration, if you will. I mean, it lived a lot. It lives a lot longer than we do. And so the whole difference of vibrations, and I thought, well, you know, I wonder if the tree could even see me if it had eyes, because I'm moving so fast in relation to it. And then I thought, well, you know, there could be somebody standing next to me, but they're at a different vibration and a different level of existence. And I don't know they're there. They don't know I'm here. And that just got me started about, well, that must be where space aliens come from. They don't come from space. They come from here, et cetera. So I invented the world Shonak, which is one of six cousin planets at different vibrations. And it's the interaction between Shonak and Earth. I think readers will find it pretty interesting. And I develop the culture at some length, so because it's a series of books. I'm on the third one now. I've got the Crown of Happenstance, and then It's About Time, and then Bot Diaries is the one I'm currently working on. I hope that it takes off and people are interested in it.
It's an interesting world that you created. Talk about not just creating characters, but you create this world that they're living in. What kind of challenge is that to, this is a whole new world. This is Dennis's world that you've created.
Yeah, well, it really wasn't a challenge at all. I mean, it just flowed beautifully because, well, I'm kind of an inventive guy. And I wanted to create something that would be interest as it relates to Earth. So I made it completely opposite from Earth. So they don't have any money. They don't have sex. They don't have politics. They don't have government. They don't have any of the things that we have. They don't even have taste buds. So they don't really care about food. What they do have is unbelievably smart brains, and they're very technical. And so they've created a technology that allows them to visit the other vibrational worlds. There are five of them above their own, which they call prime, and that's why they call Earth plus five, because it's five vibrational iterations above their own world. And so they find us so incredibly interesting. They flood Earth with surveillance devices so that they can watch us all the time, because all they do is work, and their lives are fairly boring, but they've never really known that until they saw us. And they don't understand us at all because their motivations are totally different than ours, but they enjoy watching us, and so they do. So they've basically turned Earth into a zoo or a cultural theme park without Earth knowing about it.
You know, you mentioned they're not boring. Your life can't be boring either. I get the impression that the passion that you have for the books that you've written, starting with A Million Monkeys and in the series you're writing now, this is fun for you.
Yeah, it really is fun for me. I'm having a good time with it.
Well, it certainly sounds like that. Now, where's the best place to get all of the books? I mentioned A Million Monkeys available at Amazon. The other two books that you've got two in the series that are out now, and you're working on the third one, correct?
Yeah, they're available hard copy paperback in at Amazon.com and also in Kindle. They're not in audiobook yet. That requires a lot of people asking for them to be in audiobook, and then they will do it. And Elk Press is publishing the third book, and that'll be out soon. So that'll be also, I think, on Amazon, but it'll be available through the resources that Elk Press can put it out in.
Yeah, you've been working with Elk Press on this project. What's that been like working with them?
Well, I mean, I looked around for a number of different ways, you know, different competitors to figure out who to work with on these things. And I found Elk Press to be a really good and you know, profitable and easy group to work with. I've been very pleased.
Dennis Patrick Treese, our guest on the program. The last several books we talked about, The Crown of Happenstance, It's All About Time, his newest Bot Diaries. And the focus of the program today was this fascinating book answering a lot of questions that we've struggled with for years, A Million Monkeys, The Real Story Behind Genesis and the Meaning of Life. If you're Googling Dennis, it's Dennis Patrick Treece. Treece is T-R-E-E-C-E. All of the books you'll find in the usual places, and you can link on by going to our website. Dennis, time has gone by quickly. This has been fun having you with us on the program. Thank you for being with us today. Look forward to having you back and talking about this whole world you've created out there. Many more questions on that. Would love to continue this. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. It was a pleasure for me, too.
Thank you. With us on the program, Dennis Patrick Treece, author of A Million Monkeys, The Real Story Behind Genesis and the Meaning of Life. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.